Welcome. Enter the world of sensual by nature with your host, Oceana. Nothing is off limits here. We'll talk about sensuality, intimacy, love, touch, peaceful living, tantra, and much more. Now, here's your host, Oceana.
So happy to be with you, and I hope that you are just as happy listening to me. This week, I'm going to be talking about vocal vibration and sacred prayer and harmonious union. We live in a vibratory universe. Everything in our world is made of vibrations. And since every part of us and you is vibrational, I mean, you oscillate your legs in front of the other to move from place to place. You breathe rhythmically. Your heart rhythms and your brain rhythms and your pulsations in your cells and your molecules and the proteins and the atomic structures, every part of you, every part of us, every level vibrates. All of these vibrations have to do it together and naturally want to do it together. So that's what we are then. We are the regulatories of these vibrations. We are able to tune into that vibratory universe. With our bodies, we get to tune in with ourselves, and we tune ourselves into it, into the universe, through our hearing and through our voice. When we use that part of us, which is the vibratory element in us, our voice is vibrating all the time. It's the way that we make sound and we listen, and we are able to consciously tune ourselves, our whole being, our human being. But we have to know how to vibrate together. The human being is a wind instrument. You're a tube with holes in it through which you blow air, if you think about it. And one of the things that you can do to tune in to your body and tune your body and vibrate and then tune into the universe is to sing or chant by yourself or with others, sound together or chant with others. The first musical instrument was the human voice itself. From singing, humming, whistling, to clicking, coughing, yawning, stemming from naturally occurring sounds and rhythms using patterns, repetition, tonality. And often you'll notice that music mimics natural sounds, sounds in nature. As in shamanistic practice where we embody something primal. Chanting, mantra, sacred text, the name of God, spirit, etc. Whatever you use as a chant is commonly used in spiritual practice. So like prayer, chant may be a component of either personal or group practice as a route to spiritual development. Like African and Native American and Gregorian chant, Vedic chant, Jewish liturgical music, Shavuot, Quran reading, Baha'i, Buddhist chant, mantra, psalms and prayers in Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Lutheran and Anglican chant. Development in individual tones and scales was by the ancient Greeks, and the mathematician Pythagoras created a tuning system and helped to codify musical notation. So in the Middle Ages, some religious chant evolved into song and formed one of the roots of later Western classical music, and that turned into Christian liturgical music, and then modern music or European classical music, and is used by musicians of many different genres throughout the world. And people stopped being able to participate at that point unless they could read the music. And the public taste for formal music led to the expectation that performers will play a work in a way that realizes the original intentions of the composer. Children receive classical music training from a young age for social reasons or to instill a useful sense of self-discipline. Our education system has gone so far as sometimes even rule out the importance of music at all and cut it from programs. But what has happened with all of this structuring is something very basic. We have been robbed of participating in tuning in with our own song, or singing in groups, or the universe, unless we can read music. For generations now, a child is often told that they can't sing and aren't allowed to participate at all, but instead have to stand in the back and mouth the words. Usually, most of us never sing. Most people have no excuses as part of their everyday life to use their voice for singing or chanting anymore. You might turn on the shower, and you're embarrassed, and you close the door, and you hope nobody hears you. Occasionally, in a sort of modified form, you might sing to somebody or a child, sing under your breath, if you know that no one else is really listening or can judge you. Or if we know we can sing, we might even join a choir or do a show or have a band. But there's no real way for us to come together in a sacred manner to tune with our spirit and community. Even our real musical traditions have lost something of what you're working with in a sacred forum. It's become a performance for someone else to listen to. Or if we're told we're good enough, we can perform or we can listen. But even then, it's often just for show, and the cosmic elemental awareness is diminished to some degree. One of the main causes of our sickness in the Western world in particular is that we label things, we judge, we objectify, we put a certain preconceived placement of emotional attachment through memory on all things. It's very useful. It makes us feel safe because we have a name for something and it reminds us of something we did yesterday, so it's okay. There's a power of domination, of things, of control. I don't think we can totally avoid, or most people don't seem to totally avoid, say, using words or naming or labeling. I mean, it's inevitable. We'll have this process for communication to some degree. And our natural tendency as humans is to name and judge and need to feel safe. But then we're not open when we perceive something. Whether we smell, touch, taste, see, or hear, our reaction is to immediately name it rather than experience it fully. And then what happens is we're reminded of past things by associating past labels and attachments with present things, and then verbal free associations get kicked up. We get locked into regrets about what we forgot to do and anxieties about what we have to do, therefore, into the constructs of the mind about past and future. And because we're so preoccupied with past and future, we're not present. And we mostly live and die, rarely being present. And that is the main cause of our sickness. These cycles of anxious, negative thought patterns affect our energy. The more regular they become, the more they finally become physiological, pathological, and we get sick. That's the source of most of our illness, worrying about things that are unreal, the future, which doesn't exist yet, and the past, which is not real in the present. So if the energies in your body are disturbed and your person are disturbed, then that disturbance will manifest in any way that it can. And we need to change the cause of the disturbance itself. We need to tune in and calm the vibrations in our bodies. Learn how to sustain that absence of thought. We must understand that thought and time are the same. If you have a thought, you're in time. You need to know how to come in the cracks of thought. You can settle into a timeless, spaceless world where you enter the nature of the mind itself, which is beyond the chattering mind, the anxious mind, the internal dialogue, and you can enter emptiness and clarity. This is healing. This is the only real healing. Now, we know that the mind needs something to do, so we give it something to do through various disciplines, like visualizing or listening or doing. This could be a daily part of your life, engaging in sound for self-healing. You could be led to make this happen every day, and then the whole quality of your life would change because it cuts through all the layers of deadness that we as people are naturally surrounded with. And we're always growing, so we're always dying. And it cuts into the deep layers that are untouchable by any kind of rational verbal conversation. And it's nonverbal breaks through the basic rational details of daily life that we live and gets through the deep and gets to vibration of the sound of that ancient chanting through the layers and inspires more cell growth and thus life to occur in and around you. There is a sense of cellular processes and how the vibrations, perhaps sound itself, even affects cells. And the spiritual chanting traditions form a purpose of aligning the body, mind, and spirit, body, voice, and mind. The voice tunes the body with the mind. And that's just not the personal body with the personal mind, but it's the cosmic body with the cosmic mind, and voice is the means. When you use your voice, you're also using your breath, which is attached to your subtle breath and is attached to your thoughts. So whenever you use your voice, you're modulating all of those together. Om is one of those most sacred mantras. When you use a sound which has been used for sacred purposes by thousands of years of sages chanting this mantra, then you are giving yourself the attainment of all of these great yogis and saints becoming available to you. This is the principle of ritual, sound, of mantra. We tune into them. Try Om. Feel how the resonance seems to dance in your body. Try closing your mouth, opening your mouth. Say Om. Try it. See if the sound caresses your insides. Om. And I'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sensual by Nature with your host, Oceana. Tune in to sensualbynaturestudio.com for upcoming shows.
Talking about Om and the resonance and how it seems to dance in your body. Try closing your mouth, opening your mouth. See if the sound caresses your insides, gives you a nice internal massage. Feel the vibrations moving through your body, the sound Om calming and balancing your being, letting the sound swim inside of your prana. The Gyotu and Gyume monks create the remarkable sound of the one voice from both the Gyoto and Gyume tantric universities, the tantric harmonics. And the chords are produced when the structural connection of the sound, breathing, and mind is transformed by the performance of the sadhana. Sadhana is the recitation of a meditation during which one can unite with the deity they are invoking. In Tibetan tantric chanting, the goal of the chanting is to invoke and then unite with a particular deity or being. The monks literally become the gods and goddesses to whom they are praying. It may be that the overtones which are pronounced by the different tantric colleges are specific invocations to particular entities. The exact reason why the monks of the Gyome and Gyoto monasteries are particular overtone chanting harmonics voice they specially use to shift their awareness from the mundane to the spiritual. And the abbot of the Gyalta monastery indicated that the voice was utilized in order to represent the masculine and feminine aspects of Yama, the slayer of death, in the book The Mandala of Sound, written by Terry J. Ellingson. And in that book he says, the simultaneous presence of several pitches in the sound creates the acoustic effect of transforming words into the three ritually important mantras, Om, Ah, Hum. The special breathing technique requiring conscious coordination of abdominal and diaphragm muscles and the resonating cavities of throat and head may relate to tantric meditation and yoga, which emphasizes coordination of wheels or chakras in these body areas via breath and related energies. Tantric practice aims at realizing the presence of the deity in one's own self. Chanting one's own voice helps to develop qualities that allow one to overcome death and continue living. Tibetan chanting employs mantric formulas which make up their sacred texts. These are the mantras which are fundamental to their spiritual practices. Each sacred scripture is an invocation to a specific deity or a collection of deities. And the chanters visualize these deities while creating a mandala, a circular cosmological painting which they inwardly visualize in archetypal symbols. These mandalas may involve over 150 deities and entities, but they're all in specific placements. So this combination of vocalization and visualization allows the monks to become the embodiment of the energies they are invoking. So the Tibetan Buddhist path to self-realization involves the understanding of the three mysteries. And these are the mysteries of the body, speech, and mind, whose experience has been condensed into the mantric formula, Om Ah Hum. And speech is the interconnector between the mind and the body. Speech is the understanding of sound as the creative force and incorporates the knowledge of using mantra as a sacred tool for summoning up the appearance of gods and the forces of the universe. So through the creation of several tones at the same time, this one voice chord may be a further condensation of the three mysteries into an expression of body, mind, and speech as pure tone. So in tantric yoga technique, we practice breath and chanting. With sound, you can master the breath. Breathing carries on the back of the chanting, and you can transform your breathing. One of the main functions of sound in all of these yogic healing processes is for purification. It was as if it was going up and down a scale, like, ah, almost like that, reaching through different levels with the pure sounds which then transform your energy. So when you're chanting to listen to yourself chanting. If you do that, you're creating a circuit of attention. So you join up the separated parts of your being and become both and one, the creator of the sound, the sounding, and the sounded. So you're using different parts of your nervous system structure completely, creating a subtle dislocation of the normal sequence of brain and bodily function. Therefore, you're stimulating parts of your brain that aren't often touched in normal life. And when you're chanting with a partner or a group, you're stimulating comparable parts in the brain of those of us who will be listening to you. Aspect of the sound, which is the most subtle part of the sound, is almost light and works on the light aspects of your body, on the purely energetic parts of your body. So sound is matter in its natural harmonic structure vibrating. It's the same structure that builds cathedrals, temples, leaves on the trees, shells in the ocean. It's the same geometry, but heard as pure sound. And a pure sound that is almost light is healing. Sound is a healing art. It's a way of tuning into the pace and the time and the divinity around you. And it also seems to be in this ancient shamanic tradition, almost a way of contacting the realm of spirit. I love chanting in union with my sexual partner in lovemaking ritual. Harmonizing with the sounds Om Ah Hum. Om means purity of spirit. Ah means divine love. And Hum means eternal devotion. So Om Ah Hum, spirit, love, eternal union. You can experiment with incorporating these sounds at various times during your lovemaking. You can chant together when you're just beginning your loving time to aid in letting go of the world and connecting with each other. You can chant together at the height of sexual excitement to reinforce your intention of uniting sex and spirit. You can chant whenever your mind begins to wander during lovemaking. Or you can chant intention phrases like mantras like, our love is the gateway, while you're making love. You can whisper, our love is the gateway, together. You can breathe slowly and deeply in unison for several minutes while chanting a mantra or even an uplifting song that you both want to sing. You can sing or chant whenever or wherever you are. It is your spirit-given gift to sing, to tune into the vast, ecstatic, timeless, spaceless, and free vibrating universe with your song. So let's try that. Om Ah Hum. Om means purity of spirit. Ah means divine love. And Hum means eternal devotion. Feel that vibration moving through your body. Om Ah Hum. Om Ah Hum. Om Ah Hum. Om Ah Hum. Do you feel embarrassed making sound? Do you think it's silly to express yourself vocally because somebody might hear you? Or if you listen to yourself, do you think you sound funny? Vibration is everything in this universe. Your body is vibration. Everything in this universe is held together through a vibrational force. It's scientifically proven. It's science. Energy is science. The energy that holds the cells together in your body, that holds the atoms together to form a molecule, to form the first cell, to form your body. So tuning into that vibration is purely natural. We just think it sounds strange because we've learned to judge. We've learned to put things into little organizational patterns of words and phrases and names that we attach some kind of meaning or judgment to so that we feel safe in this universe. But it separates us, those thoughts separate us from tuning in to our natural vibration and our natural frequency and our natural way of being in this world, trying to fit ourselves into boxes of judgment rather than just letting ourselves be. So try to let yourself go a little bit with me for a few minutes now. It's fine, it's safe, it's fun. I bet you did it when you were a little kid. So why not try it now? Because that little kid is still right inside you and wants to tune in and wants to be tuned in too. Om Ah Hum. Om Ah Hum. Listen to yourself making sound while you make sound. Allow those parts of your mind to be activated. Allow those subtle energies in your body to begin to move, to vibrate, to heal, to make new cells. Allow the vibration in your voice and the calmness in your mind and the listening to yourself be an active meditation. Allow the vibrations to massage your internal self. Om Mah Om. Om Mah Om. Om Mah Om. Feel the vibration on your tongue when you close your mouth for the hmm. Feel the vibration moving across your tongue when you open your mouth for the O and the ah, and then closing for the hmm. Let yourself imagine all of the vibrations inside of the leaves on the tree outside, and imagine yourself tuning into those vibrations. Imagine yourself becoming spirit, invoking deities, invoking the goddess and the god in you through chanting these sacred mantras. Om, ah, om. Let yourself go. Let your mind stop judging and let yourself blend in with the vibrations and the harmony of the universe through your voice. I know you can feel it. It's completely natural. It's just your mind that blocks you from allowing yourself to tune in and tune into the spaceless, energetic vibration of the universe through your body. And you can tune in through your partner, too. Om Mah Om. Om Mah Om. And I'll be looking forward to speaking with you in a few minutes. When you're done with your Om Mah Om. Om Mah.
Welcome back to Sensual by Nature with your host, Oceana. Tune in to sensualbynaturestudio.com for upcoming shows.
And I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. You're welcome to contact me at tantrasarah@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Or you can call, of course, the show, and we can speak in person over the phone. Now, I've been talking in this particular episode a lot about kind of factual basis of how music became notation, how chanting was an early form of ritual, and invoking the sacred gods and goddesses and deities, and people would chant together, and then over time music became notation, and then you weren't allowed to chant or sing unless you knew how to read the music. And then even if you could read the music, you were told sometimes you didn't sing well enough and you had to stand in the back and were ridiculed for your own voice. And how important it is to reclaim your voice and to learn to really use your voice to tune in to the subtle energies in your body and your breath through chanting. It's a sacred practice, a spiritual practice, and a healing practice. You can do it alone, or you can do it with a partner during lovemaking, or just in a fun kind of chanting session together. I have friends that I get together with and chant with for, 20 minutes, a half an hour, a couple of times a week, focus on intentions, and enjoy hearing each other while we're hearing ourselves chanting and tuning in and clearing our minds. It's a really wonderful practice. It involves a group, which is really nice. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about kirtans, because that's one of the oldest sacred music traditions of the world. The kirtan is a call and response chanting, which comes to us straight from India. And in the kirtans, they use ancient sacred Sanskrit mantras. So they use vowels and words and syllables from the Sanskrit texts. And the kirtan is used to call up sacred energies, repeating simple mantras over and over again, faster and faster, to experience some freedom from the daily chatter of their mind. we talked about before, how your mind often gets into an anxious mode where you're worrying about the past or the future and not in the present at all because you're so concerned with what you forgot to do or what you have to do or forgot to say or need to say or how it's going to go when you do what you do you need to do. So the kirtan is a wonderful way to quiet that, and it's a sacred form of spiritual practice in India. And it's an ancient participatory music experience, so it offers a method of quieting the mind and can carry you really effortlessly to a place of quiet and stillness. And of course, while it's true that we can sing any of these chants in the solitude of our own home, there is really nothing like the magic of chanting with musicians and hundreds of participants and people of all ages and adding their energy to your chant and your energy to their chant and seeing where that vibrational energy moves the entire vibration of the group and of the room. People often say that they feel really charged for days following a chanting experience like a group kirtan experience. What gives us that charge? There's something about that kirtan experience that goes beyond the music itself. And it goes to this deeper experience of vibration. And we all resonate at different frequencies, and these frequencies change according to what we are doing and thinking. So when we're all doing the same thing together, when we're chanting and breathing and moving to the same rhythm, our vibrations begin to synchronize. And the resulting experience is incredibly powerful. The laws of vibration help us out because vibrations align themselves to stronger vibrations. So even if you're having a really rotten day, it may be difficult to hold on to those feelings of negativity and self-doubt and just rotten vibration when you're in a chanting experience with others that are really giving off a positive charge. And if you were just to sit in the room without even participating, the idea is that you could still feel the shift. Something happens. The energy begins to activate the spirit that exists within all of us. And although the kirtan involves music, you know, musicians bring in their music, you know, their instruments, and people play together, the underlying art of kirtan is chanting. It's not about musical ability or training or who's good or who's better, who takes a great solo. It's about chanting together. It's about the heart. Just three simple syllables over and over again, something from the Sanskrit text, Om Ahum, as I was singing with you before. It's just about chanting from the heart. You don't need musical ability. You don't need training. Everyone can participate, regardless of age or culture or background. The purpose of this music is to get us out of our heads and into our hearts. Typically, the songs can last for about 20 to 30 minutes each, with a few moments of silence in between each song, so you can soak it all up. You can sort of soak in the vibration, see how high you've gone in your spirit. And the longer the song is, the more time you're allowed for a deeper experience of the effects of the vibration. And with these simple, repetitive lyrics, chant over and over and over, we really don't have to think much about the word. In fact, because the ancient Sanskrit lyrics are so familiar to many of us Westerners, these words take us away from the mind's constant chatter a little bit easier. The powerful healing and transformational energies of these ancient chants can help to reconnect us to the ever-present and eternal being that lies within all of us, this sacred spirit. It's in every single person, every single leaf on the tree, every single grain of sand, the water. It's this eternal spirit life force that keeps everything moving, everything vibrating. It's inside of you. It's inside of everything around you. All people, we're all connected. And all these mantras, these melodies, these instruments of kirtan are designed to lead us toward this meditative state. In the traditional style of kirtan events in India, people sit on the floor mostly to sink themselves into a relaxed and grounded position during the chant. Because most of us spend the day in our heads running around here, running there, thinking about where we have to be, what we have to do, what we have to do next. This kirtan gives us a time to come back to our center. And when this happens, beautiful things begin to unfold. When you're in your center, when you're feeling that vibration, that really raw energy in your body, that basic life force, when you're in tune with that, beautiful things happen. Feelings of inspiration, peace, a sense of connectedness, common experiences that all people feel all the time. People do the same things, feel the same things, activate from the same fears, activate from the same wants, the yearning to continue to live, to continue to vibrate. This deep sense of inner peace and connectedness is what quiets our minds. It's what helps us become quiet. This kirtan helps our mind, and we can begin to perceive the mystical things, the sacred experiences that are around us always, in the silence between the songs, the moments between the notes. When the song stops, you can feel something, and that something is you. There is no greater experience than the experience of yourself. That vibration that's always in you, that vibration that is you, that is the beauty of any chant experience. With little or no effort, you can experience and enjoy the vibrations of peace, energy, healing, and inspiration that are always inside of you. There's this energy, this life force that's happening, and it's inside of you. If you just quiet your mind, focus on feeling that vibration inside of your body. That's why I was saying before that Om sound, or the Om Ahum. You use that sound to tune into that vibration in your body, which then tunes into the universe, the vibration of the universe, beyond your skin, beyond the material structures that we then can perceive through sight and place judgment on. We can tune that vibration inside of us in with the vibration of all other things through sound in our bodies, through our voice. So stopping yourself from making sound because of fear of judgment is stopping yourself from being able to feel sacred, to acknowledge your sacred spirit in your body, to acknowledge your interconnectedness with all living things and all people. Allow yourself to really make sound, to vibrate, to chant. And you can even go further to learn some kirtan kriyas. These kriyas are a meditation chant exercise that originate from kundalini yoga. And the kirtan kriya involves chanting and using finger poses called mudras. I'll tell you more about that when I come back.
Welcome back to Sensual by Nature with your host, Oceana. Tune in to sensualbynaturestudio.com for upcoming shows.
I want to tell you a little bit more about kirtan kriyas, and then maybe talk a little bit about another mantra that you can maybe practice at home if you want to. The kirtan kriyas are a meditation chant exercise that come from kundalini yoga. And a kirtan kriya involves chanting and singing using finger poses or mudras. This exercise reduces stress and increases circulation in the brain, which promotes focus and clarity and stimulates your mind-body-spirit connection. Because anytime you're chanting and you're listening to yourself chanting, you're already activating parts of your brain that you don't normally use. And if you're using also your finger poses at the same time, you're really working on focusing and concentrating in the present moment. And it's all about mind-body coordination and opening your spirit to a larger life force connection. So if you sit in an upright position on the floor or in a straight back chair, you can rest your hands on your knees with your palms facing upwards. And you can chant the syllables sa, ta, na, ma, and lengthen the end of each sound as you repeat them. So remember when you were a little baby, you probably said ah a lot, right? We used only vowel sounds when we were little babies, and that's all because vowels ride emotions. Emotions ride vowels. So ah, oh, e, that's all babies make. So we want to be able to open up our emotion, open up our spirit, open up our energy. So we say sa, ta, na, ma. And you can hang on to those ahs as long as you want to express yourself. So you touch your index finger tip to the tip of your thumb as you chant sa. It's quite simple. It might sound confusing, but you're just touching your index finger tip to the tip of your tongue. I mean your thumb, as you chant sa. And then as you chant ta, you're touching the middle finger to the tip of your thumb. And then your ring finger to the tip of your thumb as you say na. And then as you say ma, you're touching your pinky to the tip of your thumb. So it's sa, ta, na, ma. It's very simple. Sa, ta, na, ma. And it's your index finger, sa, middle finger to your thumb, ta, ring finger to your thumb, na, pinky finger to your thumb, ma. So do the finger movements about, I don't know how many times you want to do it. 3, 6 times, 7. I usually go for the number 7. Most Kundalini yoga exercises are done in sevens because 7 adds to 21 and it's a nice geometric number. And in threes, 7 times 3. So you go sa, ta, na, ma. 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 You can chant out loud like that and continue. Say for 2 minutes. And then you can chant like that over and over, say for 2 minutes in a whisper. And then you chant like that in silence for 4 minutes. So you're saying the sa ta na ma over and over again in your mind while you're moving your fingers. And then you chant again the sa ta na ma in a whisper for 2 minutes. And then again out loud, sa ta na ma for 2 minutes. Sanskrit chanting sounds sa ta na ma translates to birth, life, death, and rebirth. So you can go then in your cycle that I've just led you through from birth, life, death, and rebirth. Sa ta na ma. So you're chanting out loud for 2 minutes, chanting in a whisper for 2 minutes, chanting in silence for 4 minutes, chanting in a whisper for 2 minutes, and chanting out loud for 2 minutes. And you can make this meditation a daily routine, and it's really quite beneficial to your mind-body-spirit connection. And it's really only about, what is it? Let's see, 2, 4, 8, 10, 12 minutes of your day. So I can imagine what else you can do in 12 minutes, which is watch TV, eat some food, maybe you don't feel so good about eating, drink a couple extra cups of coffee, you know, say something you didn't mean to say to somebody, or you can sit down and you can do a sa ta na ma, birth, life, death, rebirth meditation while touching your ring finger to your thumb, your middle finger to your thumb, your index, your ring, your index, your middle, your ring, and your pinky. Yeah, it's easier to do it than just to say it, so try that. And another mantra that I want to tell you about is called the Bija Mantra. And this is a great exercise for balancing all seven of your chakras, which I'll probably talk more about next week, your chakra system. But this is a really good one. It's called the Bija Mantra, and it's about chanting the Bija. The Bija is known as seed syllables. Each sound is related to a different chakra. So when you're chanting all seven, you'll harmonize and bring balance to the entire chakra system. So it's a great way to practice deep breathing, and you can really do this with a partner. The Bija mantras all rhyme with mom. Again, it's long syllables like ah. Remember your first word when you were a baby? Very well could have been mom. So it's mom rhymes like ah. And then we also say things like all, like call. So here we go. We have lam, vam, ram, yam, ham, om, and all. Okay? Lam, vam, ram, yam, ham, om, and all. And you can have to list, you have to really chant these in order. So if you can remember, and then just take a deep breath. And begin chanting the Bija mantras one after another until you've finished saying. So it is Lam, Bam, Ram, Yam, Ham, Om, and All. And you can do that a few times and see how that feels. And then take another breath and start chanting again from the beginning. And repeat this process about seven times again. Like I said, in Kundalini and in chanting exercises, a lot of times we do things in the number seven. And then there's a visual exercise with that. You can bring your attention to your root chakra, which is at the very root of your solar plexus, and imagine yourself in a field of red flowers. And now bring your attention to your sacral chakra, which is just above your root, in between your pelvic bones. And visualize the flowers turning orange. And then the next, you move up into your middle chakra, your third chakra, your solar plexus. And you imagine the color of the flowers turning yellow. And then moving to your fourth chakra, your heart, and you imagine the flowers turning green. And then to your throat chakra, where you speak your intentions, and the flowers turn blue. And then we go to our third eye chakra, number six, and imagine the flowers turning indigo. And then out the crown of your head, your seventh chakra, and the flowers are turning violet. And as you continue to do that, it will slowly balance your chakras, because you're imagining the color of the chakra moving. Red is your root, orange is your second sacral, yellow is your solar plexus, your will, green is your heart, blue is your throat, indigo is your third eye, and violet is your crown. So I'm going to talk more about that next week. I'm so happy you are here today, and I hope you practice these mantras at home, and I hope that you enjoyed today. I certainly love being with you and speaking with you, and I'll be thinking of you all week until I see you again next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's session of Sensual by Nature. Please join me, Oceana, again next time. Tune in to sensualbynaturestudio.com for upcoming shows. May the coming week bring you inspiration.